Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I don't know if you had a chance to read The Torch and the Sword as a prophetic encounter that Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries had, but he talks about, and this is real good, I mean, it is eye-opening, and it confirms what we say all the time about abiding, you know, abide.
Mm-hmm.
Abide, 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 abide. And if you haven't begun to abide, we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. Listen, you want to begin to abide because it's in the presence of God. It's being with Him. Life makes sense. It doesn't make sense anymore. It's too heavy. It's too hard. It's too complicated. On and on and on. You keep on going with the adjectives outside of the one who created life itself. But when you spend time with God, life makes sense. And He directs you. You know, He directs. But He talks about in part of this prophecy where He's encountering this particular man, and He's talking about this fire, you know, this fire of God's presence lights the sea, the water on fire. And when you talk about water in the sea, and prophetically speaking, you're talking about the sea of humanity. And in this, they did see, I mean, he did actually see, it's just a whole bunch of folks, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you see people, when you're in stadiums and all, they always say, let's do the wave. Because it looks like water. It looks like water when you have, you're in the Saints game waiting for a score. Let's do something. What are we going to do?
Waiting for a long time.
Yeah, right.
Got nothing better.
That's where
do.
The wave was actually in the bag days. You know?
Yeah.
But they, and so you do a wave because it looks like water.
Mm-hmm.
And so when God speaks about us in the context of the mass us, is He talks about the sea of humanity. And when you see about, you know, the things that we've been hearing on today's programs, and you got to catch them if you haven't, that this is not going to go, from what God is showing us and what God is showing me and showing others, I mean, God is good, but He's so good that He'll keep His word. You know, you have those fathers that say, you know, when we get home, you're going to get it. And they're not going to get it. They know they're not going to get it.
Right.
But then you have those fathers that say, you know, I'm busy right now, but I'm going to get with you on this. And like 3 days later, all of a sudden he sits down with you and goes, do you remember back in June? I'm like, oh, great. I thought, you know, that's a good father because he's letting you know that that's something. He's going to keep his word. And, you know, God being a God of His word, understand that I'm not even going to talk about some things that have happened in the past because it would just create our motives. People would kind of misinterpret our motives. But the reality is God puts a grace over us, even when we're ignorant, if we're doing things in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But if all of a sudden we just go against God, like Herod did, like other presidents have in the past, because Harry Truman did sign the paperwork for Israel in the United Nations for them charter becoming a nation. But right prior to him being president was a president who said it'll never happen. Mm-hmm. And he died 2 weeks after saying that. And as many things that has been done, as many things that has been done to Israel, to God's name, to the body of Christ, tough times are coming. They're coming. But understand, in that, it's going to be a harvest. It's going to be a great harvest that's coming. But he talks about the sea of humanity in it, and this the presence of God is going to set the sea of humanity on fire, but the people aren't going to be burned up. But what is going to be burnt up is the hay, wood, and stubble. The hay, wood, and stubble is spoken about in Luke 12:49. And by the way, I'm always a firm believer. Like, if there's any hay, wood, and stubble,
hey,
I am way too tired. If I'm wasting my energy hay, you know,
let me know now. Let's get the matching.
Right.
I'll join you.
Right. And so this fire, and I say that because I know that, you know, share with the prophetic encounter you had about the sea and the wave and the humanity in the wave.
Oh, yes. About a few months ago now, I had this vision where I saw a lady and a man standing at the shore, and
of a beach, of a water, right,
of a beach,
of a sea.
And well, but by the way, what I saw was in grayscale, if you will, black and white, and they were just holding hands. She had a red shirt, a red sweater on, and out of nowhere, this huge.
It's important to understand that this is what we're seeing over and over again. It's the suddenlies. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, it overtakes you. Suddenly, this thing comes. And it's not, I mean, we've been saying it, so it's not suddenly for us, but it's going to be suddenly for most.
Yeah. So out of nowhere, this huge, colossal wave, if you will. I mean, it's so hard to describe, but it was just huge. And it rose up, and it just came crashing down with such ferociousness. I mean, I don't know what word to use, but that's a great word. Such ferociousness and violence that they made an attempt. I saw as it was coming down, they made an attempt to try to dodge it and ran. They grabbed each other's hands and were kind of running towards me as I was looking out. And their attempt was like foolish because the minute they grabbed their hands to make a dash, this wave came with such violence. It crashed. They were completely gone, lost in this sea of water that was coming on shore. But as I looked closely into the water, there were actually people inside the water screaming. And they were just, screaming and wailing, and it was just pushing right through. Well, as this water made landfall, I continued to watch the direction in which the water was flowing, and my head turned to the left in this vision. And then the next kind of scene I saw was the water kind of just, going low and going and drawing back into the ocean. And still there was, kind of a low sea, if you will, a body of water on land. And I saw one dead body kind of floating in the water. And then my attention was drawn to these kind of like mountains in a distance. But it weren't really mountains, more like hills. And the first thing that I thought of was looks like sand dunes. On the Gulf Coast, you have these white sand dunes. And that's what it looked like. And as I continued to look at them, I looked closer. And as I saw closer, it wasn't sand. It was actually dead bodies piled up. And these were huge. And it was, I can't even count or remember how many of those sand dune type mountains were all around as I was gazing out into, the open field. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing. But just as suddenly, just as quick as that wave came and that ferociousness made landfall, it was over. It was destruction, there was death, and there were bodies piled everywhere.
And you're thinking about the sea of humanity. Mm-hmm. This is how serious this is going on. That there's going to be a response. And there was a day, by the way, when things would happen against Israel or against America, there was a response, Everybody's like, hold on. I think it's coming. Response. It would happen. And, but there's about to be a response from heaven. Mm-hmm. And the very fact that the Christians and the Jews are coming together and standing, that huge response, but understand so that some of the things that God showed Rick Joyner, and he writes about in his book, The Torch and the Sword, the things that he has shown, John, as he's talking about the sea of humanity, and he's shown over and over again, when you see this huge water and these huge waves and tidal waves, that's people. Mm-hmm. That's people. What he showed me when I was on sabbatical was I was in, I think, North Carolina, and in the center of the United States, they were waiting for, they were looking at this little thin tornado-looking cloud. I mean, it was like a real thin, pencil-thin-looking cloud, or tornado. And so they were unintimidated by it. Mm-hmm. And they watched it and looked for it, and they wouldn't even look at it in the sky because the whole sky was just black with storm, clouds. But out of it came this little thin tornado, so people were just kind of watching it, kind of were amazed by it. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the United States, when they're watching this thin tornado, the entire sky falls. The sky falls. This whole huge, the whole darkness, clouds and all, it just all comes straight down and hits the earth. Well, the earth, as God's shown me, it turns into water. It's like, it's still the earth, but it's now like liquid. And so when it hits, all of a sudden this huge wave begins and starts coming towards the people who were just watching and is covering going west, I believe it was. And it's like over and over again. And, you know, Pat, what the Lord had shown you in the context of the sun dropping in the sea, share that in the context of this.
Yeah, I remember looking out into the, I was in this, like a beach house kind of thing. There was glass all the way across the back of it, and it was facing the ocean.
Again, the sea of humanity.
Mm-hmm. And I remember just looking out into the sky and looking at the sun, and then all of a sudden it just falls out of the sky and hits.
The sun.
The
star.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, and hits the water. And then gradually I just start to see.
Well, it hits the sea.
Yeah,
hits humanity. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I look in the distance and I start to see, you know, waves coming. So I'm like, you know, frantically running around, you know, trying to make sure everybody was okay. And I went into another room, checked on my mother and came back. And then the waves started to come into the house and I'm like putting stuff up higher to, you know, trying to save things. And then you just see wave after wave after wave. It's just like this, you know, building up to this, almost like a tsunami like you were talking about. And that's when the dream ends.
And so, you know, this is over and over again. There's so many different dimensions of what he's sharing, but understand that this fire that gets set does not consume the people, but it consumes the things that's been consuming us.
Mm.
It purifies God's folks. It purifies us. And he talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, in verse 6, he says, in this, talking about our awesome relationship with the Lord, we can greatly rejoice with that. Though now, for a little while, we may have to suffer griefs of many kinds and trials. Think about that. We have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Grief and trials, grief and trials, fires. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I mean, think about what we're talking about today. That the president of the World Jewish Congress is standing up in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles saying, blessed is he, in so many words, this comes in the name of the Lord, the Christians, Jesus followers. We have this whole thing converging, taking place right here. Our faith has to be tested before he's revealed. And so this is a soon coming. You won't see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So you're looking at the soon revealing of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Which will come with great times of testing and great times of trial, where our faith, more precious than gold, though refined by the fire. Understand, the fire is a purifying fire that gets rid of the hay, wood, and stubble in our life. I encourage you, begin to abide with God now. Go to iabide.org, and he will lead you out of all the hay, wood, and stubble. So there will be no need for that to come over your life. And if it does, it won't affect you because you're not going to be consumed. But your hay, your wood, and your stubble that you may be leaning on, depending on, It will hurt you if you're hanging onto that. But if you can let everything go and just have God, everything's going to be good. Continuing in regards to this conversation, what God's revealing to us, this is not going to go undealt with. My prayer is, and my desire is, that somehow, you know, grace will just come and mercy will just happen and somehow we'll come out of it. But I have to default to the fact is, am I willing for all these souls to go to hell so that I don't go through any pain?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That's what it boils down to. And the thing is, Lord, we pray that everybody would come to know you, that as many as possible during our lifetime, that you would use us and all your body to be able to bring in this harvest, this end time harvest. And whatever you know has to happen, Lord, this is what we talk about in the book of Revelation. Dear God, that you would give us a grace not to be offended by your judgments, not to be offended how you handle things, because you are our leadership.
Mm-hmm.
In the context of that, it makes me think of a prophetic word given by Jim Baker. Listen up, talking about the church, what God showed him. Jim Baker.
As we close this with this scripture, I was cutting the vines off the bushes outside of my bedroom window. I told you I'm taking out garbage and doing those kinds of things, but God can speak to you. Sometimes he has to get your attention. I was washing the windows in the bedroom because my wife said they were dirty.
So I had this ladder. I actually fell off the ladder, which was probably knocked some sense into me. But I was on a slant like this. But I noticed the vines had crawled over. We have these beautiful gardenia bushes. And so there was vines all over these gardenia bushes. It looked green. It looked prosperous. It looked healthy. But I noticed when you'd walk by it, one of those vines would come out and had some briars on it. Every kind of weed vine that you could think of was growing there in what I thought were camellia bushes, because I'd seen some camellias pop up once in a while. And so I began to pull the green off the bushes, the vines. And the more I pulled them out, the more I realized there was hardly anything left underneath. It was a weed. It was a killer green, bright green weed growing all over the beautiful camellia bushes. I kept pulling them out. I kept cutting them down. I kept pulling them out. And finally, by the time I got underneath the window, not one of the camellia bushes under the window was even yet alive. It was dead, but it looked alive. It was green and prosperous looking and big and bushy. But when I took out the killer vines and the weeds, there was little left of the sweet smelling flower bush. So I trimmed it back and cut it out. There was a couple little bushes with a few little straggly green leaves trying to hold on. And God said to me, "Jim, I want you to tell this on New Year's Eve. Because this is an example of a lot of religion today. It looks green and prosperous and big, but it's dying inside. The world has come in and grown over and crept in and wound away all through the church. And it's taking the very life. And it looks prosperous, but inside is death." And these are the scriptures I leave you with. Revelation 3:13, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faith of the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." God Almighty says, you make me sick till I want to throw up when you're lukewarm. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Say hallelujah. 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 The trial of your faith is more precious than gold. God's getting you ready for something. God's wanting to get your garments white. God wants to get the weeds cut back. He says, "Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Everybody has this as a salvation scripture, and it's not even salvation. He's trying to get to the backslidden church. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Jeremiah 22:21, "I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidst, I will not hear. This has been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice." There is a church that looks prosperous, but inside is death. God is pruning. God is disciplining. God is knocking. Let's open our hearts.
This is such a timely word. And as we're closing today's program, hey, wood and stubble. What have we made idols? What have we said is God that's not God? We need to turn back. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then he'll hear from heaven and heal our land. Listen, it's time to stand for God. It's time to stand for Israel. It's time to stand for the church. Listen, that's all that will be standing at the end. And that's who you want to be. You want to be the right side of history? Is this like the president said of the World Christian Congress? You need to stand with Israel. Stand with God. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsors and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.